with the gods as our witnesses. Let us pledge that the winner will allow the loser all the proper funeral rituals.
There are no pacts between lions and men.
No, you're a killer! Sir, yes, sir! Let me see your war face! That's a war face! Now let me see your war face! Bullshit! You didn't convince me! Let me see your real war face! You don't scare me! We're talking!
You're serious? You're serious?
Let's get ready to rumble!
I'm real champion.
Bang, bang, bang. Bang, bang, bang. Try and stop it. Bang, bang. Here I come. Bang. You want to throw sometime? Bang, bang. Bang, 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 bang.
Greetings, Fight fans, to this, the 15th episode of In the Square Circle with Felipe León, your 30-minute or less boxing recap of last week, all the news, the notes, your fight results, and your upcoming calendar here in 30 minutes or less in the Square Circle with Felipe León. I'm Felipe León, international editor of FightNews.com. Every so often, co-host of Leave It in the Ring with David Dueñas and Gabriel Montoya on here, the Leave It in the Ring Network, and every other week, co-host with David Avila and Elena Baby Doll Reed of the 2-Minute Round, your all-female boxing show every other Thursday here on the Leave It in the Ring Network. Well, this is episode number 15. 15 episodes already this year of In the Squared Circle, and we have a lot of news and a lot of notes and some of the upcoming calendar of what's happening in this next weekend of boxing. And we're going to give you the news of what happened last week and the last weekend fights. So without further ado, let's get started. One of the biggest news of last week is that, as expected, the pay-per-view buys for the third installment between Manny Pacquiao and Timothy Bradley, which was on April 9th from the MGM Grand Arena, were not what was expected. Actually, Bob Arum came out and quoted, "It will be somewhere between those numbers, 400,000 and 500,000. It's all being added up, but it would be closer to 400,000 than 500,000. Terrible," Arum said. Some in the industry say they think Arum is being optimistic, and that with everything is counted, the fight might not even reach 400,000. So that goes to show that even though Manny Pacquiao, it was tooted as his last fight ever, and it looks like it is, because as far as he says, he is retired. You know, he's not the draw that he was once. The MGM did look somewhat filled up, but Timothy Bradley has never been really a big seller of tickets or pay-per-views. He's a good B-side. But the guy that needed to really make the push was Manny Pacquiao. And obviously we all know the trouble that he got into with his comments and everything. Nike dropping him from his contract. So that couldn't have helped. And obviously Bob Arum is not too happy. Unified light heavyweight world title holder Sergey Kovalev is headed home to Russia to defend his 3 belts against Isaac Chalemba on July 11th at the DIVS Palace of Sports in Ekaterinburg, Russia. Main events announced this on Saturday in a news conference. So obviously we're all waiting for the big, hopefully, matchup that it looks to be signed between Sergey Kovalev and Andre Ward. Part of that contract stated that they did have the opportunity to have a in-between fight between Andre Ward, between Sergey Kovalev set for the fall. So Sergey Kovalev decided to take up that option on July 11th against Isaac Chalemba in his home country of Russia. And we'll see if Andre Ward does the same, which is very doubtful because they only have until June or maybe July to put it together. We're already at the end of April and no word from Andre Ward. Obviously, this fight between Kovalev and Chalemba has been in the works for quite some time. We knew that he was going to go back to Russia. We just didn't know who the opponent was going to be. Now we know. and it doesn't look like Andre Ward is looking to put anything together before the fall. So we'll see what happens with that, if he's going to be ready for who for the crusher, Sergey Kovalev. Anthony Joshua will make the first defense of his IBF World Heavyweight title against unbeaten Dominic Trouble Brazil at the O2 in London on June 25th. This was announced last week. They were given three names that possible opponents for the first title defense of Anthony Joshua. Obviously, he won his title, the IBF heavyweight title, with the second round knockout of Charles Martin on April 9th from the O2 Arena in London. And very quickly, Anthony Joshua is back on the saddle. And the three names that were announced were Dominic Brazil, Eric Molina, and Bermain Stiverne. Bermain Stiverne being with Don King, obviously a little bit tougher match to make. Eric Molina was also mentioned. He was coming off that win up against Thomas Adamek, but the most logical choice, since he is with the PBC and Al Haymon, and now Al Haymon is rumored to have a piece of Anthony Joshua, since Anthony Joshua beat Charles Martin, another Al Haymon client. The logical choice was Brazil, and he gets the shot at the title against Anthony Joshua. And the WBC has actually developed a program called the Clean Boxing Program, which aims to teach boxers, trainers, and everyone else involved with the sport about the dangers of high-performance drugs. The program was developed with Dr. Margaret Goodman of VADA, among others. Gennady Golovkin enrolled for the program and was tested supposedly allegedly for this bout against Dominic Wade. Dominic Wade was not tested. But others that are also part of the program are Deontay Wilder, Alexander Povetkin, who face each other for the WBC heavyweight title in May, and also Saul Canelo Alvarez and Amir Khan, who face each other on May 7th for the WBC middleweight title. The program will be independently supervised by VADA. So now the WBC is getting involved in trying to clean up the sport as far as PEDs and high-performance drugs. So let's see how far this program gets and how it is accepted by the boxing world, including the boxers and the trainers and all those involved. And that, my friends, brings us to the end of Hooks and Jabs, which is the new section of this program in the Squared Circle, your 30-minute or less fight recap, all the news from last week, all the fight results from last week, and all the upcoming calendar. So with that said, we're going to go to the fight results. This one's a little bit of an interesting fight result. It wasn't televised. I just thought it was interesting. I saw it on the docket, and that is, I don't know if you guys remember, ex-champion Kasim Uma actually fought this last Friday in Rwanda. Kasim Uma stopped Adam Kantumwa in the sixth of a scheduled 8-rounder in the super welterweight division. Uma is already 37 years old, and it's his first fight in 2006. He had last fought in November of 2015, and which was a loss. Saturday, April 23rd, from the Centro de Usos Múltiples in Los Mochis, Promociones del Pueblo broadcast live in the Mexican channel Televisa, WBC super flyweight champion Carlos El Príncipe Cuadras defended his title for the sixth time with an 8th-round TKO over Filipino Richie Mepranuom. Mepranuom didn't come out for the 8th. And in the semi-main event, former female champ Ava Knight took a unanimous decision over Judith Rodriguez in over 8 rounds. Scores were 80-72, 79-73, and 78-74. On Saturday, the same night, April 23rd, but from Cebu, Philippines, Top Rank and a local promoter featured none other than WBO super bantamweight champion Nonito, the Nonito Filipino Flash Donair, who defended his title with the 3rd-round stoppage of Zolt Bedak of Hungary. The official time was 2:44. And then the semi-main event, Mark Magzayo knocked out hard hitter Chris Avalos in the 6th of a scheduled 12 for the vacant international featherweight title, also by the WBO. Magzayo was down in the 3rd, but Avalos cornered through in the towel in the 6th. And this, interesting enough, you know, Nonito Donaire, the once Fighter of the Year in 2012, you know, feature on HBO, 4-divisional world champion. And really, he didn't get a lot of play this weekend. A lot of people weren't really talking about his fight out there in the Philippines, obviously because of the huge fight at the Forum this Saturday night, which we're going to get to. But hopefully Nonito gets back in the mix. He actually asked for a rematch against Guillermo Rigondeaux. He said that he didn't get back to the position of world champion to be fighting B or C level fighters. That he wants to fight the best. He wants to be the best. And he knows that he has to beat Guillermo Rigondeaux, who defeated him in New York some years ago versus a lopsided unanimous decision. Even though he dropped Rigondeaux in the 10th, Rigondeaux pretty much took him to school. And obviously the biggest show of the weekend, Saturday from the Forum in Inglewood, California, K2 Promotions on HBO. Gennady Golovkin stopped number one contender Dominic Wade at the 237 mark of the second round with the win. Triple G, Gennady Golovkin defended his IBF, WBA Super, IBO, and interim WBC middleweight titles. With that said, we have the post-fight interview that he conducted with Max Kellerman, where he actually calls out once again the WBC middleweight champion, Saul Alvarez. So why don't we give that a listen.
Congratulations, Gennady. That's 22 knockouts in a row. How do you evaluate what you just did?
Max, can you please give me a chance? Just first of all, muchas gracias, my fans from California. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, my friend. Thank you. And Kazakhstan, of course. Rahmet is there. That feels great, Max. You know, thanks my team. Thanks my people. You know, this big gift, big present for my fans.
Top five middleweights don't seem to give you much competition. Top 10 middleweights seem to offer almost no resistance at all. What do you do next if you can't get Canelo Alvarez right away?
I'm still champion. Just, of course, I need big name or big fight. Today, not easy work, just present my fans. Now, I'm ready, I'm staying here. Just, I'm ready to fight anybody.
I noticed you did in the second round today what you seem to do against other fighters in the past. When you were having your way with them, you kind of drop your hands and take some punches in the face. Do you do that intentionally, and why?
Yeah, this is not special. This is, you know, I feel after the first round, it's nothing. It's very close fight. Just maybe it's my play. It's my game.
You're playing a game. Is that to give the fans a show?
Of course, everybody come and just watch my fight.
Is that to make other fighters brave to think they can hit you so they will fight you?
You know, Max, today I give chance, maybe 1% chance for next fighter. Just, this is possible, just I'm stay here.
Do you have anything you want to say to Canelo Alvarez, who has a fight with Amir Khan coming up in a couple of weeks?
It doesn't matter who wins. Give me my belt. Hey, I need my belt. I'm ready, guys.
Thank you, Gennady. We'll see you again real soon. Jim?
And there you have it, his message to Canelo. I don't care who wins, just give me my belt. I need my belt. And it'd be interesting to, I would like to be inside Canelo's head or be a fly in the wall when he has a conversation. When I was at the Forum this weekend, I was at the fights, and, you know, the majority of the crowd was Mexican. You know, Golovkin has, you know, captured the hearts and minds of the Mexican boxing fan, at least in Southern California. And to hear, you know, the roar of the Mexican crowd when he is asked about Saul Canelo Alvarez and he says that he wants his belt from him, you know, that has to say something. That has to send a message to Saul Canelo Alvarez somehow, you know, because at least 16,000, over 16,000 Mexicans, you know, and they're all Mexicans, but the majority there, the announced crowd, 16,400, you know, are Mexicans that quite necessarily are not Saul Canelo Alvarez fans. You know, they're there to see Golovkin. They roar their approval when he called out the so-called Mexican, next Mexican boxing star. So that has to send a message to the WBC middleweight champion. With that said, the World Boxing Council did state after the fight that Canelo has 15 days after his fight with Khan, obviously if he wins, to inform the council, the WBC, if he does intend to defend his title against Gennady Golovkin. Mauricio Suleiman, in statements after the fight, was very adamant in stating that if Canelo does not defend against Gennady Golovkin in his next fight, he will be stripped. But also present at the fight was WBA President Gilbert Mendoza, who also wants Triple G to defend against their regular champion, because the WBA, if you guys know, they have super champions, regular champions, and sometimes even interim champions in every division. In the 160 pounds division, Gennady Golovkin is the super champion, while Daniel Jacobs is the regular champion. Gilberto Mendoza wants Danny Jacobs to challenge the super champion Gennady Golovkin, but he did state that he would not interfere with the WBC's mandatory, but says it's their turn to demand a defense of that WBA title. Basically, they want to get in the money game and they want to get some money, even though they did make a sanctioning fee from this last fight with Dominic Wade, because despite Dominic Wade being the number one contender of the IBF, Gennady Golovkin still defended his WBC, WBA, and IBO titles against Dominic Wade. So let's see what happens with all that. Obviously, we have to wait to after Canelo fights Amir Khan. He ends up winning that fight. Then he would have 2 weeks to inform the WBC if he intends to defend against Gennady Golovkin. Another fighter that was mentioned by Bob Arum, actually, to possibly face Gennady Golovkin is WBO 168 champ Gilberto El Zurdo Ramirez. But at the post-fight press conference, Gennady Golovkin mentioned that his name is not big enough. He's not a big enough name just yet, that he needs a couple more fights for Gennady Golovkin to consider facing him. Like you listened or heard on that interview, he wants big names. So that's what he's looking for. Also on the card, Roman Chocolatito Gonzalez passed a tough test against Puerto Rican McWilliams Arroyo, earning a unanimous decision and defending his WBC flyweight champion title. I'm sorry, scores were 120-108, 119-109 two times. And Chocolatito did say after the fight that he has one more fight left at flyweight, and then he's going to move up to super flyweight, 115 pounds, to look for another title there. That would make it his fourth in four divisions. And obviously everybody's asking for the rematch against Juan Francisco Gallito Estrada. Chocolatito said he is willing to make that fight. He wants that fight, but obviously there's a lot of talk and not enough action coming from that camp. So let's see if they do make it happen. Former world champion Kenny Enriquez stopped Amaris Quintana in the fifth round of six on that undercard of Golovkin-Wade, while Cinesi Estrada of East LA took a unanimous decision over Celene Lopez. Scores were 60-54 three times. And blue chip Ryan Martin stopped Rosbel Montoya in the fifth of six rounds in the super lightweight division. And that, my friends, is the fight results. And now we will head to the final segment of our show, which is the upcoming calendar.
Queremos quién es el más macho.
Let's get ready to rumble.
Upcoming calendar, Wednesday, April 27th, from Tokyo, Japan, Takashi Uchiyama will face Jezreel Corrales in a 12-rounder defending his WBA super featherweight title, while Kohei Kono will face Ethanon Sichamwang in a 12-rounder for the WBA super flyweight title, while Ryochi Taguchi will face Juan Jose Landara in a 12-rounder for the WBA light flyweight title. On Friday, April 29th, from the Trump Taj Mahal in Atlantic City, Kings Promotions, along with the PBC on Spike TV, will feature Anthony Durrell facing Caleb Truax in a 10-rounder at super middleweight. His twin brother Andre, are they twin brothers? I'm not sure. But his brother Andre Durrell will fake Blake Caporello in a 10-rounder at super middleweight, while Jonathan Guzman will face Daniel Baboy Rosas of Mexico City in a 12-rounder at super bantamweight. Saturday, April 30th, from Guaymas, Mexico, Sanfer will feature on the Azteca channel Anabel Ortiz, the WBA minimum weight champion, who is defending against Katia Gutierrez in a 10-rounder. Same night, Saturday, April 20th, from the StubHub Center in Carson, California. TGB Promotions, along with the PBC on Fox Sports, will feature Andre Berto against Victor Ortiz, the rematch that nobody asked for, in a 12-rounder at a welterweight, while Edwin Rodriguez faces Thomas Williams Jr. in a 10-rounds at light heavyweight, and the former champ Fernando Montiel faces Jorge Lara in a 10-rounder at featherweight. Same night, PBC is busy because they have another show on the Showtime channel, co-promoted or actually promoted by Mayweather Promotions, but you know that Al Heyman's all over it. That's on April 30th, same night, Saturday night, from the Armory in Washington, D.C. Badu Jack will defend his WBC super middleweight title against Lucien Boutte, which has the rankings to be the best fight of the whole weekend in a 10-rounder, while James DeGale will face Rogelio Porky Medina in a 12-rounder for the IBF super middleweight title. That also has the rankings to be a pretty good fight. This is on Showtime. Well, that's pretty much it. That's the last fight of that card. So those will be the two featured cards on Showtime. And that's the upcoming calendar. So with that, we have reached the end of your 15th episode of In the Squared Circle with Felipe León, your 30-minute recap of all that is boxing for the last week. Just to go over the Leave It in the Ring network schedule, Monday nights, 4 p.m. Pacific time, we have the next round with Steve Kim and Gabriel Montoya. Then we have In the Squared Circle with Felipe León, yours truly, every Tuesday, the 30-minute recap. Every Wednesday, we have a Leave It in the Ring, the flagship show, at 6 p.m. Pacific time. Every other Thursday, we have the 2-minute round with David Avila, myself, and Elena Baby Doll Reed, your podcast, all-female boxing podcast. And then Fridays, coming back on Fridays, is Full Court Press, the basketball show out of Las Vegas. And then pretty soon we should have another episode of The Technical Draw with Lenny the Fightsmith. That brings us to the end of In the Squared Circle. Thank you for listening. We'll be here back next week.
Years and years, heating has meant boilers, and boilers have meant breakdowns. Over here and over here. Anything but music to your ears. At Fisher Future Heat, we create state-of-the-art home heating systems that we fit, then you forget. With no annual servicing needed and a huge 10-year guarantee. In short, we engineer common sense. Search Fisher Future Heat today. Fisher Future Heat. The future is electric.